The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now. It's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can. We are grateful. We always look forward to whatever guidance he can give us. Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Jill. But I'm bugged. I'll give you the headline here.
Sure.
This is a shocker, right? Our drug prices are too high. So I did a little research this week and looking into what President Trump has been promising, what the drug company's been promising, and they're not delivering. Do you remember? This is just recently. President Trump promised these quote unquote massive voluntary drops in drug prices. Okay. And frankly, that promise puzzled the drug industry. I mean, why would they give voluntary reductions in prices? And in fact, when Trump said that, the drug price, the stock prices of these drug makers actually went up 5 to 10%. So there's a disconnect there. Now, it is true that Merck and Pfizer announced some price reductions. But I took a closer look at that. Merck said it was cutting several drugs by 10%. Okay, sounds good. But it turns out it reduced the prices of only minor drugs in its line, not the big guns like Keytruda. You see that on TV a lot. Keytruda. Keytruda is a wonderful drug. It's for cancer tumors, very effective. Merck made $838 million on Keytruda in the first quarter. And why not? It charges $776 for a dose with Medicare.
Yeah, and so, I am sorry to interject, but I believe that you and I, this is key because a lot of the ads that you see on TV for these drugs are, mm-hmm. you had mentioned once before, very costly per dose and
right.
not always for more sometimes for end of situation rather than beginning of situation.
Or they help you for it. They'll only help you, actually, that's clinical trials show they only help you for 3 to 6 months, and they cost them a tremendous amount of money. There is an idea rattling around, but Trump hasn't gotten really forcefully behind it, of forcing the drug makers to announce their price. So if you want a Keytruda ad, then Merck would have to say Keytruda, which costs $776 for a treatment with Medicare, okay? But right now they don't have to do that, and they do not do that. So it's the same story with Merck's got another drug. It's Januvia. It's a good drug for diabetes. But they made $465 million on that in the first quarter, and their price is $546 a month. They're not cutting the prices of the high-priced stuff. Then there's Pfizer. So Pfizer actually promised, and this is all they promised, not to raise prices above inflation on average for all its drugs until the end of the year only, okay? So they're not going to raise the prices above inflation. Frankly, that's no big deal. But they also added, okay, we're also going to freeze the price of 7 drugs. And Trump thought that was terrific. He actually put out a big thank you tweet. And he called it, quote unquote, great news for the American people. Well, here's the great news. 6 of the drugs had already lost their patents. So they weren't selling very well. They were being undercut by generics. They lost their patents back in 2002. So, okay, those are the drugs that he's talking about, basically. Then he's got a 7th drug. And on the 7th drug, he says, okay, I'm going to freeze the price of this drug, okay? So this is Zapatier, okay, for hepatitis C, and the promise, not to freeze, but the promise here was to cut the price by 60%. Now, 60% for Zapatier for hepatitis C sounds like a big deal. It's not. In the entire first quarter, Zapatier had no sales. Zero revenue. So Pfizer was taking a bow for cutting 60% of nothing. So, so Jill, you know,
yeah, see,
what do you think of that great news?
I think that sadly it is very much like the advertising. You know, there's a whole bunch of distortion and manipulation around it, and it's I mean a very, very teeny tiny version of it is you see these ads with happy people, you know, doing things well, and the long line of side effects, you know, that's part of the music almost that starts right at the beginning and goes all the way to the end. And I just, my concern is that these devices, if you will, are exploited, and people aren't getting the information that they need about
absolutely
the situation. That's really...
That's absolutely true. They've got a list of side effects, which may or may not give you pause, but after a while, your eyes glaze over.
Right.
The important information is how long it lasts for you, how long will it work for you according to clinical trials, and what's the price. Now, that you do not see that in those ads. They just doesn't. But let's cut to the chase here. Despite whatever Trump says, okay, and a few drug companies may claim, okay, drug prices are going to stay out of control until the government itself begins negotiating prices. And that has to start with Medicare. So it's absurd in this country that Medicare cannot negotiate prices with drug makers by law, okay? Democrats and Republicans are putting up with this. Every other industrialized government that we know of negotiates drug prices. That's why we pay twice as much as everyone else for drugs, and there's no end in sight. Here's a sick joke. A couple of hundred new drugs are coming out at $1,000 a month. It's sort of the starting point now. They look at, you know, they've got a drug, they think it's good, and this is good medicine, okay? It's an advance. And then they say, well, we can just charge whatever we want. So $1,000 a month is now almost a standard. So, okay, this is all bad news, but what can our listeners do? That's the thing you and I have talked about. And I have a maxim on this one. You have to take the drugs you need. Don't not take a drug that you need. Take the drug, but not one pill more. That's the problem, I think, with a lot of people. They're taking actually more medicine than they really need. So you start with your doctor. Doctor thinks, okay, there's a wonderful prescription for you. You have to say to him, do I need this drug? And he's got to have a good answer for that. And you pin him down. You say, exactly how will it help me and when will it help me? So let's say the doctor says, okay, you take this pill, and you say, well, when will I feel better? And he said, well, in about 7 days, you should be feeling better. Then write the prescription for 10 days. Do not write the prescription for 30 days, as doctors do automatically. And in some cases, I've had situations where they wrote the prescription for 90 days for a drug that would help me for a week. So just write just the medicine you really need. And then at the end of 10 days or 7 days, when it's supposed to work for you, call a doctor back up. If it's working for you, great. If it's not working for you, then get a drug that really will work. So be careful about that. Also, ask about the specific dosage. I mean, doctors, frankly, are kind of sloppy about dosage. If you have a different dosage than the one on the insurer's approved list or on the chain store's approval list, your price can go from $4 to $304. Oh, you wanted 10 milligrams. Well, 10 milligrams, that's the full price. If your doctor had written it for 5 milligrams, I could give it to you, you know, for $4. So be careful about the dosage. And also, if the doctor is prescribing, and this happens often, take this pill twice a day or take this pill 3 times a day, ask the doctor, do I really need it twice a day? And if he's not absolutely sure, then say, all right, let's try this. Write the prescription for 2 a day, and I'll try just 1 a day, and I'll report back if it works. Now, this is exactly what I'm doing with Lyrica. I have to say, it's a wonder drug, actually, Lyrica. But the last time I bought it, a little while ago, it cost $763, and I was taking 3 a day. I've cut back to 2, so that cuts the price by a third, and frankly, I'm getting along. It hurt. I'm getting along fine. My neuropathy is not that bad with two. And I'm sort of wondering if I dare try one.
And I just have to say that it's also improved your mind reading skills, because this is one of the things that I was going to ask you about, is because because all bodies are different and all people are different. There is a dosage. Yeah, like different bodies will respond to different things. And I'm wondering, to what degree does one play around with that, particularly when it is so costly?
Don't do it without discussing it with your doctor, is okay. What I say first. I mean, don't try any of this without then telling your doctor, hey, I'm going to think about just taking one. What do you think of that? If he says, sure, that's crazy, don't do that, then fine, take two. But if he says, try it. Let's call me back in 3 days. Let's see how that's going. Then have him write. See, I think we're over-medicating, okay? And then doctors fall into this trap there and giving us more medicine than we really need. So you have to monitor it and in some cases experiment, but never on your own. Always with doctor's supervision or the supervision of your pharmacist, okay? Now, let's get to the pharmacy, because you can save money here if you ask for the best deal. Now, there's a gag rule out on pharmacists. They're not allowed in many cases to offer you a better deal unless you ask for it. So once you ask for it, they'll say, oh, well, actually, and this has happened to me several times. Oh, well, actually, there's a generic for that. You don't have to take that brand name. And you walk out saving with a medicine just as effective, right? And it's an exact copy of the brand drug with the same ingredients, and you cut the price. But you've got to ask for it. Now, getting back to my good friend President Trump, to be fair, he's proposing some good ideas. He's, for example, he wants to end the gag rules on the pharmacist. That's a good idea. And he says he wants to make available free generics to low-income people. And he wants to set an out-of-pocket maximum for the 1 million people now in our country who are in Medicare catastrophic care. And I'll walk you through good old catastrophic care. But the lesson from it is that the catastrophic care laws, like a lot of our laws now, just show the power of Big Pharma. They wrote these laws. And the laws actually hurt people with chronic conditions. The sick and the vulnerable come out on the short end of things. And the drug companies and the insurance companies make a lot of money. So to get to catastrophic care, you got to go through the donut hole. Okay, scary music. Donut hole is terrible. So get into the donut hole first. You and your drug company have to spend $3,700 on drugs together. And then you're into the donut hole. And in the donut hole, instead of a copay, you have to pay 35% of the brand drug's price, or 44% of the generic. So let's back up a second. So instead of paying Big Pharma and the insurance companies, okay, this measly copay, right, you've got to pay 44% of the price of the drugs. So let's take an example. Let's take insulin. Let's imagine that insulin and you fall into the donut hole. Well, instead of paying your usual $47 copay, you're now having to pay about $120. So you can see how that really hurts people. And under these rules, you're kind of stuck in the donut hole, most likely. Once you go into the donut hole, you'll be stuck there for the rest of the year. That's because once in the donut hole, you alone have to spend $5,000 to get catastrophic care, to get a break on catastrophic care. So it's not you and your insurance company together. You alone, $5,000. So the way the rules are written, if you're following this, you're speeded into the donut hole because they're counting what you spend and your drug company spends, and that gets you into the donut hole quickly. And then once you're in the donut hole, you're locked in because now you alone have to have shelled out $5,000. You got to be awfully sick to end up doing that. Then when you get into catastrophic care, and this is the thing that this drives me nuts. When you get in there, you have to pay 5% of the drug costs. Doesn't sound like a lot, right? Except that's 5% no matter the price of the drug. So when the laws were written, drug prices it was years ago, and drug prices weren't so high. I guess 5% didn't sound like that much. Well, now you're looking at $10,000 a month drugs, $15,000 a month drugs. I've had to take those from time to time.
Now
you do the math.
And
you,
the math is impossible.
You're out $500-$700 a month.
And the math is impossible. The other math is we are virtually totally out of time. So
I'll end on one potential positive note. That Trump says he wants to establish an out-of-pocket maximum on catastrophic care. That's a good idea. That's something. Tell your congressman, tell your senator, write him a note, make a call. That's a good idea, and he should follow up on it. Let's set up out-of-pocket maximum the way corporations do for their employees who get sick. They set an out-of-pocket maximum for those employees at, say, $1,000 or $2,000. Once you've gotten there, your drug prices are free. The company picks up the rest. It should happen that way in this country. People who are that sick, who've already spent $5,000 on drug costs, should then not have to pay a penny more. Sounds like the American way to me.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online and in store.